During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
This is becoming one of my favorite moments on the show.
Just because of the Huey Lewis? Or because of Namdi?
How about the fact that Namdi's already got his own music? This guy, you want to talk about a guy
that... It's very dark how he's gotten it, but it's fine. Have you delved into more Huey Lewis?
It's dark?
I didn't anticipate it to last this long, but...
It's because it's in the movie American Psycho he's killing someone. But... You haven't gotten into more Huey?
No,
you
I
need
have.
To get
I definitely
into more
have.
Huey. Okay, so you got some more Huey in your stuff?
The other day I was watching Michael Jackson. It was the song they did with all these pop stars and Michael Jackson and Huey Lewis.
We
Are the World. I couldn't think of the name. And Cyndi Lauper all did it. And like Michael was kind of looking at him like unimpressed. And I was like, I thought he was doing pretty good. You know, it's Huey Lewis.
Huey had some hits, man.
Do you believe in
hits.
Love? I'm
There's
a bit,
so
I love
many of
that one. You Believe in Love.
We play this game with my buddy where we just throw out an artist and we say, what's an over-under on how many songs you know? You don't have to know every word to it. You have to, like when the song comes on, I know the song.
Yeah.
You know that
thing?
And like Huey Lewis would be a big number for people of our age. Not for you,
I'd
Namdi.
Guess off the top of my head, 7 or 8.
Yeah, I think I might take the over for 8 on you. And then what we would do is then we would get a phone out. Or
look
whatever,
at the songs
and we
would how go many through, know? Yeah.
And then we'd say, and you'd have to, it's honesty is important in that. You can't sit there and say, I don't know this song. But then if you, got to get to the chorus, and then you go, okay, I know the song. But I think if you said 7.5, I think I would guess you would be over on that. That'd be my guess. I know I would be over on that.
Yeah.
But there it is. You're probably under Namdi.
Probably because, about 5.5.
Yeah. But
that'd still be pretty good, though.
If you were older, then you'd be like, oh, yeah.
But so Namdi's an old soul. We're going to get to that in a second. I feel like because, you know, he's calling for Huey Lewis in the news for his bump music. Earlier today, he called for some Seal.
Mm-hmm.
That song had to have been a 90s song, right?
Yeah. Batman, whatever.
We had a conversation about Outkast, in which he was very informed on Outkast.
That's new music.
Not
in
for
Namdi's
him. The song that we were playing, like he wasn't even born yet.
I know,
you know?
But that's still new music when you compare it to Seal and Huey Lewis.
Yeah, right?
The new stuff, the fresh stuff.
I can
from
appreciate
Outkast.
It.
So, but I like this segment because, you know, Stephen came up with this idea that, hey, we're gonna put these interns, we're gonna force them to grow a little bit, and we're going to have them provide some free content for us on the show, because Lord knows we need it when the Royals are 20 games under 500 this time of year. But it gives them an opportunity to try to actively think about what they would like to discuss and things like that. And earlier this week, we had my favorite, it was one of the coolest things we've done, getting to introduce intern Marissa to her biggest role model, Haley Lewis. Mm-hmm. And seeing how excited that made her, that was fun. So I'm going to have to get to...
By the way, there's no one coming in to surprise
you. Yeah, we don't have anybody surprise you.
You didn't get Hakeem Olajuwon
I was
going to
say, so Hakeem Olajuwon, is
that
your...
That's a big get. I don't know if
we
can
get
him.
I don't think you're going to be like him. He's one of the greatest basketball players to ever live, and you seem to be like you might have had some game, but I don't think you're that good of a basketball player.
Definitely.
Who's your biggest role model as a sports broadcaster? Is there somebody that you want to be like?
I'd have to sit down and really think about it.
That's your assignment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Buchady.
Well, you've met him. Congratulations. That's your homework assignment for next week. I want you to think about who some of your role models are. And you're gonna give us a little information about why.
And just to let you know, we're probably not gonna be able to find that person and bring them in.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Yeah, don't get
Haley
your
Lewis,
hopes up.
You know.
Yeah, if it's Haley Lewis, I know her. I can get that done.
We got an in.
If it's Marco Marquez, I can get that done as well.
Yeah.
But this time around, I told Namdi, you're gonna have a segment for us.
No NBA.
no NBA draft. And he said, can I do NBA free agency? And I said, no NBA at all.
Marco said that.
We got to get, yeah, but I know that's what you were thinking. we got to get you out of your comfort zone. We got to get you talking about some things that are more relevant to the market here, because it's like with me, I want to talk soccer every segment. I'm not allowed to because a big percentage of our audience says, we don't want you to talk about that. It doesn't matter to us. So I got, we got to talk. We got to play the hits around here. We got to play what people care about. That's why we talk Chiefs even in the middle of June when there's nothing going on, because people love the Chiefs. So you're going to have to talk about something that's at least relevant here. But before we do that, Todd Lebo is a big fan of a game show called Jeopardy.
Do you know what Jeopardy is?
Of course I do.
Okay, so I record Jeopardy every day, and I watch Jeopardy. And someday I hope to be on that show, but I'm never going to get on the show. But I laugh all the time when there's sports categories up there, because a lot of times the people who are smart on Jeopardy don't know anything about sports, and it's hilarious. So yesterday there was this category, and we've been talking about music with you, and I thought Nate would like this. The category was called Chuck D for some reason. Okay, so the first thing I think of when I think of the word or the name Chuck D came to my mind, so I knew this was going to be an answer on the show. But what happened was hilarious. Now, this is music from my youth, not your youth, but you're an old soul. So play this and see if you know the response to this answer.
In the 1980s, Chuck D began fighting the power in this hip-hop group with Flavor Flav, a man who always knew what time it was.
What time is it?
No, you know, not what time it was. What band?
What is the group that Chuck D and
Chuck D, Flavor Flav
were in?
Oh, man, this is like biting me. I can't think of it. I don't know.
You're young. It's okay. I don't mind that. So play the response this lady had.
Mad once.
Hallie, what is the Funky Bunch?
Oh. No.
It's not the Funky Bunch. So it's Public Enemy.
Public Enemy.
So
Fight the Power.
Fight the Power.
Oh, my God.
The clues are all right there. So this lady, she says the Funky Bunch. The Funky Bunch was not even a real thing. It was just Marky Mark. Mark Wahlberg made a song one time and had a video. It wasn't
Good Vibrations,
like,
yeah. And it was can you feel it, baby?
It was not.
I can't, too.
The exact antithesis of what Public Enemy was, which was very social, right? Commentary.
Social commentary. Fight,
right.
the,
fight
power.
The power. All these, you know, Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos.
Can't trust it.
Can't trust it. All these things. Don't believe the hype.
Don't believe the hype.
Bring the noise.
Welcome to the Terror Dome.
All these songs. And then she says Funky Bunch. Now, the funny part is, lady won. The whole show. So she missed that one.
There's a whole
won.
Category about Chuck D?
Yeah, but it wasn't just Chuck D from Public Enemy. It was like someone else named Chuck. There would be another Chuck D in the world or whatever. So I just knew, when you see the categories, you know if Chuck D's there, I'm like, well, there's going to be a Public Enemy answer. I just know that. So you got to be ready for that. She didn't know what Public Enemy was.
Do you know why they said at the end that was completely unnecessary in the clue in terms of what time it was? That was about Flavor Flav, who was the sidekick to Chuck D in the group. Actually, he wasn't really sidekick. They were equal billing, I think.
Yeah, they were, but he was the hype man.
Chuck D was the real voice of the social commentary.
Flavor Flav
was the madcap
reality TV shows. Yeah. He always wore
a big clock. Do you
know
why he always know what
time?
What
time it is.
He knew that.
Flavor Flav is crazy.
So. Yeah, well, he is crazy.
Yeah.
So he's crazy. So, yeah, I just died laughing. And I had to rewind it and record. I'm like, you can't tell me this lady said Funky Bunch.
The Funky Bunch. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. They just said that, you know, the song was Fight the Power.
The Funky Bunch was fighting power with good vibrations. Feel it.
I used to be on the academic team in high school, my freshman and sophomore year, where we'd go and do, like, quiz competition. It was basically Jeopardy 4v4 type style thing. Me and my buddy did it. And anytime there was, like, hip-hop or basketball, they always looked to me. They knew it was me.
They would nudge me.
They would.
Yeah.
And also classical art.
You know, some of the painters, yeah. You can always tell on Jeopardy when someone has taken art appreciation in, like, college, because they know the names of some artists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And some people are like, nah, not for me. Don't have that.
Classic Vermeers and all that type of stuff. I forgot it all now, but
that's very
But it would pop back up when you're watching Jeopardy. Something would strike, and the question is, can you get it fast enough to buzz in and get the answer right? That's the tough part. But that lady ended up winning because they all missed Final Jeopardy, and the dude who was in first place bet wrong. You got to bet right. Yeah. Can't bet wrong like that.
That would probably have been the only question I've gotten right the entire
episode. You'd have gotten more right than that.
Yeah,
you could have gotten more right than that.
But
you would have gotten that one.
Check out some Public Enemy now.
Yes.
You know?
Go deep dive on Public Enemy.
I know Public Enemy. That upsets me that I couldn't do it. There you go.
Have you ever seen the movie Do the
Right
Thing?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Next week you can bring the ruckus for your segment.
Wow.
That's not Public Enemy.
Yeah, that's Wu Tang Clan. My
Come on,
God,
Marco, Marco, walk out of here.
Leave the studio. Leave you. You need to leave right now.
So, what have you brought for us?
So, I mean, I'm pretty diverse when it comes. I wouldn't say I'm pretty diverse when it comes to like the type of sports I watch. I'm excited for the Adesanya fight. I'm a huge Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
I have prepared though some what I like to call delusional KU football fan talk because I got some analysis on this year because I believe that we won't be as horrible as everyone wants to believe that we will be. I think.
What's the over under for wins for KU this year? Two and a half. I'm guessing it's 2.5.
Probably. Yeah. I know the numbers came out. I'll look it up while you talk.
I think it's like a game.
Just a game, huh? They do have they have to go to Houston for non-con, right?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous, by the way. What are you doing? I don't know who. I'm guessing it wasn't this regime that scheduled that. I'm guessing it came like during the. I'm just going to go ahead and blame Jeff Long for it because I blame him for everything. Why in the world would Kansas schedule a game at Houston for a non-con? Well, you get three non-con games.
It's ridiculous.
Where you're at right now. You got to schedule some wins, you know, or at least winnable games. And
Duke,
I'm not saying
Duke's
they can't win it, but come on.
That's
what
a
are
good
you
football program. They really are. And they're going to.
Houston?
Yeah.
Heck yeah,
very
they
good
are.
Football program.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I will say I do not have them in the win column, but, you know, Tennessee Tech, Duke, those are, like you said,
winnable
win those games.
Two.
But
yeah. Duke's at home. Should win it. Should win that game. But that's two. I'm guessing they're 2.5 because.
That's what I'm seeing from
two and a
sport
half.
Books.
All right, so you're delusional. You going over?
The way I have it, yeah, I do.
Okay.
Give
me some delusional K. I want to hear this. I'm
so,
optimistic
right,
about the direction
of
the program.
Let me put some Lance Leipold rhetoric right here on the podcast.
All right.
Because I'm a big fan of him. He built a dynasty at the D3 level. He made Buffalo a very good program while he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in, none of these guys, except for a couple Buffalo guys he brought in, like Trevor Wilson, who he's very high on, none of these guys are guys that he recruited. None of these guys are guys that he like got from the transfer portal. He was just thrown in there once Miles was fired. So, you know, I really think that he's been building something. You could see it by the tail end of the season. The last three games, their offense improved by like 15 points a game. They had that spectacular win against Texas. And I'm a big fan of the transfers that they're bringing in. I really am. They're bringing in Lonnie Phelps. He played at Miami, Ohio. He was a star there. Bringing in a hometown guy. Kai Thomas, he was at Minnesota. Some Big Ten secondary guys, Marvin Grant, Kalon Gervin, an Ohio State linebacker. And I think these are just pieces that are already contributing to a team who's showing promise and guys who want to get better and want it to do good for this football program.
I'm more excited about their quarterback running back combination than I've
Insane.
Been. I mean, I feel like they actually have.
And they're young. They're very young.
Like a competent Big 12 caliber quarterback.
Jalen Daniels was so much fun to watch just end of the season. He was just running around doing his thing. He literally put the offense on his back. And it was horrible seeing Devin Neal go down because I honestly thought he was one of the better running backs in the Big 12. Obviously, he's not Deuce Vaughn, you know, level, but I still think Devin Neal was very good. He had 707 yards, 8 tutties. He looked phenomenal. I liked him.
Well, the key right now for Kansas, the way I look at this, there's been some more upheaval in the coaching ranks, right? TCU's got a new coach for the first time since they've been in the league.
Right.
Right. Sonny Dykes is there. And Tech made a very interesting hire. This guy who was a high school coach in the Metroplex for years and then was an assistant at Baylor. It's his first time being a head coach. So what Kansas has to do is they need to measure themselves right there with those brand new coaches who are first years in the program. Right. So those are the games that I think are huge for them.
Right.
I can't expect they're going to beat Texas again.
I don't think it'll happen.
It was a somewhat miraculous thing. People feel like Sarkisian is going to get a little bit better. I'm not saying they can't because they've beaten Texas before. Right. They battled their butts off against Oklahoma last year. They've done some nice things. But you have to go and compete against Tech and TCU in this transitional time for them. What's West Virginia this year? They've got them very early. Neil Brown is at that point in his career there at West Virginia where it's like, what are you? Are you going to be someone who's going to sign another contract or not? So they've got these opportunity games with a whole year under the belt with Coach Leipold and his crew. I love his coordinators. They've been with him for a while. And I like to listen to him talk. I've been out there for press conferences and things. But they, you know, they're going to have to coach him up, right? Because they're going to not have some of the talent these other schools have. But you can do that. You can win these games by doing that. So I want to see that West Virginia game early to measure them with where the Mountaineers are right now. And I definitely want to see those games against TCU and Tech, because you have to build your culture, right? That's what they've done at Iowa State. You know, that's what their phrase was: five-star culture versus five-star talent, right? That's
right.
What they were, you know, beating Texas and stuff like that. Iowa State's established, right? K-State's got a four-year head start here with Chris Klieman, establishing what they are. And, you know, it's a new coach at Oklahoma, but there's a culture there. Oklahoma State, there's been a culture there with Mike Gundy for 15-plus years. So you got this opportunity with all these things happening, and that's what Les Miles couldn't get done. There were coaches hired all the same year: Klieman, Les Miles, Neil Brown, Matt Wells. Matt Wells already fired. Les Miles already fired. So Neil Brown and Chris Klieman are the same spot there. And it was a failure of a hire with Les Miles.
It was.
Absolute failure. So now Lance Leipold has to say, here we are. Let's get out of this slot in the league and get yourself up, because the league's changing next year. Four new programs are coming in. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to start at the bottom and have the four new ones come in. So I think it's a huge year for them.
And those are four very good programs. Like we already said, Houston's a very good program. Mm-hmm. And everyone else.
Cincinnati was in the damn playoff last
insane.
Year.
Insane. Cincinnati, good team. BYU, all very good programs. But like you said, I really like that, you know, it's the opportunity. They got to kind of strike while the iron is hot. And I think that, you know, there is big opportunity there. Leipold's really pushing his guys. I know he's beefing up the nutrition program up there. He's making guys like that have been there, like Mike Nowitzki. He was one of the best centers in the Big 12 last year, you know, and it's things like that that are just the little things that could add up, that could beat some of these better teams in the Big 12 that are kind of penciled in as who's penciled in KU as wins for them. And it's just about competing.
Well, that's what they're all looking at KU going, well, that's our win. KU has to get out of that mode. You have to not be the place. You have to be the place where it's like, ooh, it's going to be a tough one. That's where you need to get to.
Yeah.
So the question was last year, you know, should they redshirt Jalen Daniels and you know, get another extra year of eligibility, or since it's clear that he's a big step up in the quarterback situation, get him as many starts toward the end of the year.
2022, you don't redshirt anybody. You use them, and then someone's going to transfer. I mean, that's what it is now, I think.
He got four legit games under his belt, the first one being the K-State game. Then they lost that one 35-10. Then, of course, they win the game at Texas 57-56 in overtime. But here's what I like is, like, they back it up. He goes to TCU. They lose 31-28. Like, it was a legit game. And then they play West Virginia, and they lose 34-28. Again, they were in these games that he played. You look at his numbers, and to me, like, this is just crucially important for KU. So how good was Jalen Daniels last year? Well, he completed 69.2% of his passes. I like that number. But that's nothing. But, like, you compare that to other players that have played quarterback at Kansas, and he did 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. These are the things that make you think, okay, like, and then he can run. Mm-hmm. There's reasons to be excited about him as a quarterback. KU hasn't had a legit quarterback since Todd Reesing.
Yeah.
Now, they had the little Dane Crist, Jake Heaps, you know, experiments. Those guys had been big-time recruits. They both, you know, I think Jake Heaps transferred somewhere else and played a little bit. And
it might be more fair to say they haven't had a quality quarterback coach combination.
There you go.
Since
but they
Reesing.
Really haven't. I mean, like, to me, those guys weren't, you know, maybe the teams were just so bad around them that they weren't, but they weren't any good.
Right.
Like, they couldn't, their production was terrible. And they didn't put up numbers even like this for four games that we saw from Jalen Daniels. So to me, the coach is the number one thing, and that is clear as day. But the number two thing is the quarterback. I mean, we talk about, like, Gary Pinkel always had a quarterback. Bill Snyder seemed to always have a quarterback. And, yeah, you got to have all the other guys too. But if you don't have the quarterback, it doesn't even matter.
Who are they going to rally around?
And so, yeah, so I'm with you. I think they're headed. Now, so what is it? Are you going to – you're going over. Can they win a couple conference? To me, the bigger question is, can they win two conference games this year?
I think they can challenge TCU, West Virginia, and Oklahoma's a question mark. I don't even know what's going on over there with everyone out of there. What?
Oh, no, you're not. You're coming after Lebo's team.
No, I'm not
coming
after. I really just want to know like what's going on.
Let's not talk.
Their quarterback situation, they have a new quarterback, but it's Dylan Gabriel, who was at UCF and has thrown like 80 touchdowns in his college career. So they basically got a free agent quarterback is what they got, and he's legit. So they're going to be actually probably more experienced and better at the quarterback position than they were last year, even though they were playing 2 5-star young quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Dylan Gabriel is like a dude who has done it at a proven guy. They're going to be okay, but it's going to be first year, so who knows? I mean, you're going to have some stuff go back and forth. It's a brand new coach, but it's a brand new coach stepping into a program that's been at a level, and that's the scary part for like TCU. I mean, Gary Patterson was great, but they hadn't been at that level for a while because things have been slipping. That's why he got fired, right? That's why he's gone. And Tech had been just trying to find something since Mike Leach left. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is in the NFL, but he deserved to get a job in the NFL. He could barely make a bowl game at Tech. So, you know, there's a difference when you're getting a first-year coach at Oklahoma, you're getting a first-year coach at like Tech. But I think the Sooners will be okay. I don't know if I'm going to put him down on my ballot to win the league because, you know, it is first year and there's some differences.
Yeah.
But
if you're KU, let's see if you can knock off Texas Tech, TCU, and those teams. I mean, they gave Oklahoma a game, you know, but that can happen anytime.
That was my TV debut, ESPN.
Oh, yeah. You were all over. So here's the thing for this year. We'll get you up there when KU starts to have their press conferences and stuff like that.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 KC area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
I want you going up there and getting some sound for us. You bring it back and you can give us some reports. Introduce us to some of these young Jayhawk players the KU fans can get excited about. You up for that?
Definitely. I already got Jared Casey. That's my guy over there.
Okay.
Guy who caught the touchdown against Texas.
We had him on the show last year.
He should have taken you to Apple.
Yeah, there you go.
He's awesome. Yeah. He's a really good guy. We played basketball together.
He's got any game in basketball?
He's quick. Yeah. He's very quick. You know what's suspected. And then I came up to him. I was like, man, you're big. You should play football. And he's like, I do play football. We all know who you are, man. I'm just messing with you. He's a cool guy.
Yeah, look at Namdi. All right, hey, thanks, Namdi. We appreciate you. And don't forget, fight the power. After this on Sports Radio. We got a couple of stars in studio. You're going to get to meet some professional athletes here, Namdi,
right after this.
That's on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Hey, Marco, you need to tell Namdi that part of his job right now is to maybe get some pictures of this whole thing and we can post it on social media. Because it's not every day that we get, you know, celebrities in studio, but we've been doing that this week. We had Haley Lewis
in
studio.
We had all kinds of people in studio this
week.
Yeah,
come on in, man. We have a couple of young rising stars for Sporting Kansas City in studio with us because here's the deal with these guys. They finally get a day off after like a month of crazy training every day, playing all kinds of games and everything. They finally have a day off, and they said to themselves, you know what I want to do on the day I don't have to work? I want to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning and come to a radio studio.
Yeah.
Isn't that pretty cool?
And they came in and said, you guys do this every day?
We have Felipe Hernandez and Cam Duke, two homegrown players for Sporting Kansas City who have been the starting tandem in the midfield the last couple of games in particular. What's up, fellas? How are you guys?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing good. How are you, Felipe?
Good. Good to be here.
So, in all seriousness, what Patrick Bergabo, press officer for Sporting Kansas City, extraordinaire, is the guy that really puts this together. Did he have to entice you guys with some sort? Are you getting a kickback here? How did he grease the skids to get you guys to get up this early and come in here on your day off?
I'll take the lead. He had asked me first, and he was like, I asked him who else, and he said, you and Cam Duke. And then I said, yeah, I'm in. And then I think he was in the back of the plane because it was on the plane to wherever it was. And then I was
to Seattle probably,
to Seattle. Yeah. And I was like, I'll convince Cam. Don't worry about it. And then I just kind of told Pat to just take it easy. I'll make sure Cam gets on it. And then I spoke to Cam and pretty much made him come here.
Okay, so it's his fault that you're in here right now?
Yeah, kind of. nah, I'm happy to be here.
What time? Now, be honest. You can be honest with us. If you had not been, you know, if Patrick had not, you know, convinced you guys to do this, what time would you have woke up? What waken up? What's the
arisen?
Arisen. What time would you wake up? What time would you wake up today if you didn't have this on your schedule? Since today's your day off.
It's No Hangovers May with Greenlight Dispensary. Enjoy their flower specials all month long by visiting one of their 4 Casey area locations. Or check out their AI bud tenders at greenlightdispensary.com. That's greenlightdispensary.com.
I would say probably like 8 or 8:30.
That's not too bad then.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just not so used to waking up early that
yeah.
I just wake up early even on days off.
What time do you guys usually have to be in the facility?
We usually have to be there at 8:30 for breakfast. So I mean,
this is the same stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'll usually.
We're not even
up.
Gonna go make you run or anything today. Yeah, this is good.
That's good.
Perfect.
Yeah, we don't have that. Breakfast though ready for you. You guys have a good cook there though, don't you?
Yeah, great chef.
Yeah, they take care of you guys. Okay, so we have Felipe Hernandez and Cam Duke, in studio, and we'll get to the season that's going on with you guys right now and all that. But I do think this is all interesting, maybe for our audience. We got our audience that loves soccer and know who you guys are, but we also have our audience that maybe are learning the sport a little bit and they're maybe bigger fans of football, baseball, basketball, whatever. And I always tell my friends that don't follow soccer as closely, the world is different. It's changed the way I look at professional sports because we'll watch college athletics and, you know, a kid goes to play college football and he has to play college football. What does he have to do? It for 3 years now, mm-hmm. Todd?
Yeah.
Or at least he's got to be like 3 years out of high school before he can even be eligible to play professional football. In basketball, they got the one and done thing and people act like that's like a bad deal. Like this guy only played college for 1 year before he became a pro. So Felipe, first for you, how old were you when you signed your first pro contract as a soccer player?
I signed when I was 17.
17 years old. You were from Nashville originally. We'll get to that in a moment. But you moved to Kansas City and not even to fully become a pro at that point, right? You just moved here to join the academy. How old were you when you did that?
I think I was 14 or 15.
So 14 years old, you're like a freshman, sophomore in high school.
Right.
And you moved, you know, to another state where you didn't have any family and all that to join an academy with the hope that you would become a pro someday. And so then you signed as a pro contract at 17. Cam, you're from here. People that know the soccer community know your family pretty well. You had an older brother who played. Your dad was a prominent coach and player in this town. But how old were you when you signed your first pro deal?
I think I was either 18 or 19. I signed in 2019.
And how old are you now?
I'm 21 right now.
21. You just turned 21. How long ago?
Probably about 6 months ago.
6 months ago. So, I mean, we got guys like that's – I just think that is such a different perspective than, like, somebody that went off to college and did all those things. When you look back on it, like, how has the journey been for you to this point, Felipe, in terms of, like, do you ever stop and think about, like, other American sports? You wouldn't have been able to do that and how different life would have been. What are your thoughts on the way it's kind of progressed for you so far?
Yeah, I think that – like you said, in American sports and most American sports, you do the kind of process where you go to college for 4 years and then you get either drafted or you go somewhere else. But with soccer, there's ability, you know, you can sign out of high school. You could sign in, you know, like other guys, like, I mean, really early on. But yeah, for me, it was just kind of, you know, work hard and then think about. Well, I'd always thought about going to college and stuff, but what I wanted to do was mainly go, you know, go pro in soccer. So I had that, you know, in my mind first.
It's a different path for everyone, right? However you want to do it. And the opportunities for soccer in America at the college level for men, there aren't as many, right, as there are. So what sort of process was that for you guys to say, no, I want to do this now and not go that route? Was it a risk at all? Or did you think, because there are some big soccer programs, obviously, you can go get drafted, the MLS Super Draft, guys who play college soccer, but how risky was it? I mean, what was that conversation like to say, I think I'm going to go do this now while I'm high school aged?
Yeah, I think, obviously, there's a risk in turning down college just because college can get you a lot of things today, like jobs and all that stuff, but I thought, for me personally, I just thought signing early and not going to college would be the best for me to develop professionally. And my goals are to, I mean, where to play professional soccer. And I thought this is the best way for me to be the best player that I am. So
the wild part, like, you're 21 years old, right? So the Wizards and Sporting Kansas City have existed your entire life. Yeah. So there's always been something out there in Kansas City. Like, these guys are out here playing soccer professionally, making money doing this. But you got some old guys on the squad, like Graham Zusi, who was, you know, maybe younger and seeing it happen, or when Matt Beisler was around. He grew up in Kansas City. And when he was a kid, he would go out to games. And, okay, kind of seemed like there was maybe a chance to do that. I think this generation is different because you guys see right here in America, you don't have to go overseas to go
professional. You can make good money now.
You can make, legit, yeah, real money. Like, you guys make so much more money, even though you're not the highest paid guys on the team. You're not designated players making millions of dollars. You know how much more money you made than Peter Vermes did when he was playing soccer for Kansas City? I mean, it's pretty crazy. It's like a real thing. It's. Do you talk to your folks about, like, what it was like? Wow, you're making some pretty good dough here as a kid playing soccer.
Yeah, I think just, like, looking, like, there's, I mean, so, yeah, obviously the older players, like, make a lot of money. But, like, when you're thinking about it, the people who go to college, like, they're not even making money yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, as much as we are, they might have jobs and stuff. But I think it's crazy to think about, like, we're doing what we love and we're still making, like, good money at the same time.
Yeah, that's the key. You're doing what you love. You're not, like, go to college, get a job. Life is life. There'll be time for life later for you guys doing that stuff. So that, I love the fact that it was really weird. I remember the first time Sporting signed anyone, it was Kempen, right? It was, I think, the
goalkeeper. He was the first, yeah.
And he went to high school right over here, and we were like, he was like maybe 16, and he got signed. It's like, he didn't even play his senior year of high school. And we're like, it was so mind-blowing for people that many years ago for that. And I think it's now, I think people in Kansas City get it now, that this is the way soccer goes, and they understand it, I guess, because it was really weird that many years ago.
That was a huge part of the deal, was like the guarantee that his college would be paid for by the league and I don't know if you guys got deals like that or not, but that was a big part of it at the time, because parents around in the United States are like, wait a second, no, you got to go to college. Everybody goes to college in America. You have to do that. And I think what's interesting to me, though, like, I remember talking to Peter back when the shift in emphasis in the league was going away from the college draft to the homegrown system that you guys are a product of now. And he said, look, here's the deal. We're behind these other countries in the world because their young players are getting thrust into professional environments when they're teenagers, and they're having to train against full-fledged pros every single day and learning the system and learning the tactics and learning physically what it takes to go up against these guys. Where when you go to college, they limit how many hours you can practice, they limit how many games you can play, and you're not playing against players of the same caliber. I mean, you guys are teenagers going up against Matt Beisler and Graham Zusi and Johnny Russell and all those guys, and he said that development level is going to speed up a lot. So I'm curious, I'll start with you on this, Felipe, because you've been in the system even longer. Like, you're 17 years old. You were going up against Roger Espinoza when he, you know, in his prime and all that. What was that? Was there any, I guess, like, I'll look at it this way. I talk to college basketball players, and they say, man, I thought I was playing really hard when I played high school basketball. And then I got to college, and it was like, oh, there's a different level of commitment and how you have to take care of your body and how hard you have to try and practice. Then you get to the NBA and you realize there's another level above that. Well, you guys skipped that. You just went straight into the, I'm training every day at the professional level. How big of a shock was that? How much of a learning process is it to figure out, like, what it actually means to be a pro when you're just a kid?
It's, for me at least, it was difficult because, you know, you go from academy soccer to, you know, thinking you're the man, you're scoring, you're assisting, and then, you know, the next few days you have to train with the first team, and then they're way more physical. They play quicker, and just everything's at a higher level, and people are taking care of their bodies and so that they're, you know, 100%. So for me, it took me a little bit to realize that, you know, I need to get stronger. I need to get faster. I need to develop more, but I don't know. I think like training in those environments at a younger level, at a younger age, helped me a lot, and it can help, you know, a lot of young guys.
What was that like for you, Cam, in terms of that? I mean, again, you came from a family where your brother and dad had been involved in professional soccer, so maybe they warned you a lot about it. But how much have you learned, and how quickly did it have to come in terms of, oh man, this is the first team, and like what it's going to take to be able to be a part of this?
Yeah, I think when I was in the academy, just training up with the first team, it was always an honor, and I always enjoyed it just because like it was with the professionals. And when I signed and started playing in like my first couple of games with Sporting, it was definitely a change. The game was more fast paced, people were more physical. So I think as I got more experience on the field, I just had to learn like I need to get up to their speed and compete as hard as they are, just because that's what the game requires.
Well, that's what it does, like the old iron sharpens iron or whatever. You find out real quick if you're going to be able to do this, right? Because it's not for everybody, especially if you're a teenager. And I'm sure like Roger Espinosa didn't take it easy on you, right? I mean, that's not his nature. So you kind of figure out real quick whether you can keep fighting and make it to the first team yourself or not. I mean, you've probably seen some guys who just hasn't worked for, right? They've tried and like, maybe can't do this. You figure out real quick.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the big things, Peter, that he requires from all the guys is mental strength. And when you're at a young age and you go into trainings like that, I mean, they look at things like that. If you break, you know, if you're doing bad, they don't, I mean, you can have a bad day and stuff, but if you mentally break, then that's when, you know, that's one of the big things that is required in, I think, all sports.
We've got Felipe Hernandez and Cam Duke in studio. And so this year, you guys are both, you were starting to kind of increase your minutes as players. But then this year, the season starts off with some injuries in key positions. And all of a sudden, and I remember Peter talking about this at the beginning of the season, he's like, hey, we got some young guys. This is their opportunity right now, and they got to take advantage of it, and they need to see that opportunity. And it kind of seemed like he was a little frustrated that maybe that wasn't happening early in the season. It seems to me like as we've getting it's clear. This is how I look at it as a broadcaster. You can see what players a coach trusts and which ones he doesn't trust by who's getting playing time, you know? Mm-hmm. Because if the coach trusts you, he puts you out there. And you guys have both been getting a lot of playing time over the past month or two, which tells me you've really started to develop and earn that trust. And so, and I'll start with you this time, Cam, on this one, but how big of a growing process has it been just in this year from going to, yeah, I can get out on the field and play a little bit, to the coach is counting on me to like play 90 minutes today and be a big part of the team? How big of a change is that, just going from a guy that can play to being a guy that they count on?
Yeah, I think it's a huge change. I mean, like last year, I thought I'd got a lot of appearances, but mostly they were coming off the bench. But now I think I'm starting a lot of games. I've gotten a lot of minutes. So I think just the fact that Peter has trust in us and is expecting us to have an impact in the game is a huge responsibility. And we go out there each and every day to fight and get all the points that we can.
What about you, Felipe? Like, do you feel like there's something that maybe really clicked for you at some point that got you to the point where, I mean, gosh, during this last stretch, I think you played more minutes than anybody on the team.
I think it's just, I don't know. I think Peter trusting us, it, you know, helps our confidence a lot. And I think last year, and even at the beginning of the year, like you were saying, you're not expected to play as much as you are. So once you are getting these minutes in your head, you just feel better about yourself. And then once you get on the training pitch or on the field, then you walk out with like a kind of presence and, you know, kind of just saying like, I'm here. And it's just different. It's a different feeling when you're not expected to play as much or have as much as of an impact on the game, to where the head coach is trusting you and expecting you to have some kind of impact on the game every game.
Did you guys have moments, maybe in training or maybe when you're actually in a game, whether it's an exhibition game out in Arizona or U.S. Open Cup or regular league game, where you felt like, all right, I feel like I belong here? Or did you have a moment where like, oh boy, I don't know, man. Have you had those moments? Can you remember some of those?
I think for me, the moment that I felt like, oh yeah, I should be here was probably the game against FC Dallas in the Open Cup, where we went to extra time.
Yeah, you played all 120 minutes of that game. That was a great performance.
Thank you. Yeah, it was. I just felt free. I played how I wanted to play, and I think that was probably the first time that I was comfortable and my confidence was just really high. Mm-hmm. And then ever since that game, I've just been, you know, trying to take that and continue.
That a moment like that, Cam?
Yeah, I think, I mean, definitely when you start, like, first playing with the first team and all the older guys, you're like, oh, shoot, like, this, like, feels kind of weird. Like, you're kind of nervous and stuff. But once you get, like, more games and more minutes with them, you start to feel more comfortable. And I think that's when you have a lot of confidence and that's when you can really perform.
So the thing that stands out to me, that performance that Felipe had in the FC Dallas game, and Jacob Peterson and I were talking, like, this is the best game he's ever played. And your biggest quality, in my opinion, like, you just don't stop going in the midfield. You win the ball back from the other team, and you scramble to close one guy down, and then as soon as he passes the ball away, you sprint back into your position. And that was happening. I mean, you just were winning the ball all over the field that day. The performance that stands out to me with you, Cam, was the game when you played, I think it was four different positions all in the same game. He played left back, right back, left wing, and right wing, if I remember that all correctly. And you've played all those positions plus two different spots in the midfield this year as well. And I was thinking to myself, like, I was trying to put myself in your shoes when that one happened. I was like, you know, I wonder if there is in some way, like, a relaxation that can take place here, because there's no possible way that anybody can expect you to execute every minute little detail of all of those positions flawlessly at your age. I mean, most people wouldn't expect any player to be like, you should know that position, that position, that position, and that position by the back of your hand. So it's almost like just relax and go play. Am I on to anything there at all? Like, what was that like for you when you played in those four positions in one game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I wasn't expecting to play all four positions, but growing up, I played multiple positions in the academy, like outside back, forward, and even in the midfield. So I think just having that experience growing up was very helpful, and even like paying attention to other players' positions like during our trainings, I think helps a lot, just because you should know where they need to be. And I think just taking all that in helps me play any position.
Does it give you better perspective, maybe even playing in the midfield, to have played all the positions around it? Because you've, like, maybe you know, like, well, this is what I like when a guy makes this run or doesn't make that run, things like that?
Yeah, I think that also is why, like, I kind of have an understanding, because I'll want other players to be in certain positions, so I'll just think about kind of, like, what the other, like, when I'm playing outside back, I'll probably think about, like, what Roger, Remy, where they might want me to be. So
I got a big picture question before we maybe talk about what's happening this weekend in the U.S. Open Cup coming up later. You know, you guys of your age, right, there's soccer all over the world, and you see Champions League games, English Premier games. You know, you got, Busio just went over to Italy. A lot of people's dream is to go play overseas at one of these huge leagues and make all the money and all that stuff. I get that part. That's not maybe for everyone. Who knows who's ever going to get there? Do you feel like where soccer in America is right now with MLS, that this is can be a destination for people of your age to say, I could do 10 years in this league, make a lot of money, and the league is getting better, that this is a spot where it's like maybe someday people will be like, I would like to play in MLS and maybe not have the dream of being overseas at some point?
I think for sure, because I mean, before you'd see all these older guys coming to retire, but I think now, I mean, you saw the guys in LA that are coming, you know, they're kind of older, they've got, you know, they're veterans and stuff, but I think now you're seeing a lot more, especially South Americans, come to MLS and try to make a name for themselves. But I think soccer's been growing so much in the U.S. that in, you know, 5 years, I think it's just going to be it's going to be way up there.
Well, the World Cup's going to make such a difference, too. How excited are you guys? Like, the rest of us as fans, I mean, I'm just thinking about, I can't wait. I'm going to start saving money for tickets now. As players, how excited are you guys to know that it's coming here?
I think it's awesome. I mean, especially here in Kansas City, all the fans here are the best. And just to have atmospheres like that and to be right in your backyard is just pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it's awesome that we're going to have the World Cup here. I mean, we can, like, it'll be a 30-minute drive if we ever want to go to the game. Like, it's so close. And just seeing, like, all the players involved in the World Cup is going to be an awesome experience.
So we've got Felipe Hernandez and Cam Duke from Sporting Kansas City here. One moment I want to talk to Felipe about. And by the way, if you want to hear a real in-depth conversation about this, go to our podcast page and listen to Sporting KC show from a couple weeks ago, or last week, I guess it was, we had Felipe on. But to me, these are the cool moments in sports. Grew up in Nashville, Todd. On Father's Day, he goes out and scores a 45-yard free kick goal in front of his family, and he gets to go hug his dad after the game and all that. I mean, like, for me, like, how would you rank that in terms of, like, the moments of your career already? And maybe try to describe for Todd what that whole day was like for you getting to, because by the way, again, we talk about the league growing. There was no major professional soccer team in Nashville. That's how you ended up here. Now they got this brand new 30,000 seat stadium that you get to play in front of your whole family. What was that day like for you?
It was, I mean, I couldn't even write that up. I mean, it probably ranks number one. First scoring off in Nashville made it number one first off. And then to be on Father's Day in front of my family and everyone, it just, you know, topped it off. But the day was, you know, it was like any other game day. I mean, I woke up. I usually talk to my mom and dad before every game as well. But I called my dad early that morning and told him happy Father's Day. And and he's not a guy that enjoys gifts and stuff like that. So he told me the only gift he'd accept is a goal and a Sporting KC win, and just to be able to actually do that was crazy, and it felt really nice.
That's got to be a fun spot for him to see that happen, but they're probably super excited that there's soccer in Nashville, too, but then they probably like Nashville a little bit, but no, not when your son's going to come in and play for him. That's
pretty
cool.
Tell them about the bus ride to the stadium. That gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, it was flying into Nashville. It didn't really hit me or anything. And then kind of he's my hotel roommate, and we were just chilling in there and never thought about it too much. And then once we were on the way to the stadium on the bus, I started thinking about, you know, as a kid, I was playing down the street and then I was like seeing all these places, and then it started to hit me. And then I actually saw somebody I knew when we were pulling in, and I was like, wow, this is crazy.
I'm home now, right?
Yeah. And then just thinking about, you know, 10 years ago, like, who would have ever thought that I'd be a professional? And then in Nashville, it just made it even more.
It's wild. See, camp gets that every day, right? You're just driving around town, you see all the people you know. That's got to be really cool to go back home and do that. It's just amazing what the league's done. And Nashville has really embraced this team. I mean, huge crowds, big stadium, all that stuff. It's really cool that it's happened there. And that's what the growth in American soccer is all about. Because when they first started the league, it was just a few cities that had a team. And, you know, there were no soccer-specific stadiums. And now, you know, they're building them everywhere. It's pretty amazing.
Okay,
you guys are part of it.
Yeah, so and now you guys got a game coming up Sunday night. And I'll tell everybody, get your tickets at sportingkc.com. There are tickets available. And it's a Sunday night game. Should be beautiful weather, according to Gary Lezak. There's fireworks after the game. And you guys
need some fireworks during the game.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, you won't see a boring game because the Red Bulls are coming to town. And the thing about the Red Bulls is they are a system that believes in pressing the game all over the field. They contest everything. They don't even really care if they keep the ball. They just want to take it from you. You know, like they're going to tackle you. They're going to crash into you. They're going to try to ugly the game up as much as possible. And so this is what I want to ask you two, because you guys are young midfielders. You've been starting in those attacking midfield roles the last couple games. And to me, that's the place that's the toughest place to play in when you're playing against the Red Bulls, because once the ball gets into the middle of the field, you just got no time on the ball whatsoever. There's going to be somebody closing you down. And as a guy who's not very good at soccer, but still plays in my over 30 league for Hot Guys United, I love to play because I think about it. It gives me appreciation for how good, really good soccer players actually are. And to me, one of the hardest things is when I'm playing in the midfield and somebody passes me the ball and I know there's pressure coming from someone behind, and they always say, check your shoulder. But like, I got to check my shoulder and find out where the ball is at the same time and figure out who I'm going to pass to or what I'm going to deal with. So I usually just get rid of the ball as quickly as possible because I know I'm not good enough to deal with it. I'm curious for you guys, like, and I noticed the guys that are really good, they seem to be calm. They don't get too sped up. They don't freak out, even though there's a guy flying at them from behind and they got to figure out where he is and all that. So I'll take it from both of you guys. When you play in a game like this, Felipe, against a team like New York, I mean, I'm guessing it's like that when you go up against Roger in practice every day anyway. How do you deal with it? Like, what goes through your mind when you're in one of these car crash type games and you know there's going to be pressure on you when you receive the ball? How do you deal with it?
I think you just got to be mentally prepared. You have to think ahead. You have to know what's next. In training with Roger, I think I learned pretty on that you got to be smart. You got to be quick with the ball. You got to be quick mentally thinking about what's next, because if not, they're going to pick you off. You're going to get hit from behind, and no foul will be called.
Yeah, they don't call fouls on Roger
not
in training,
on Roger.
Do they?
Yeah, not on Roger. But yeah, you have to – you know, you have to prepare. You have to be ready and quick with your decision making.
What's that like for you, Cam, playing in games like this?
I think, like Felipe said, you just have to be aware of your surroundings. I'd also say, making sure you're positioning yourself well. So I know Peter likes me to like kind of find a space, behind the midfielders, but in front of the defenders, like in that pocket kind of. So I think that's one thing that I'll be trying to do at least. But with the pressure part, I'll just have to know that I'm going to have it on me, so I'm going to have to play one or two touch at all times.
You seem to be the kind of guy that likes to turn on guys too, though. It's like, if you know they're going to pressure you, if you turn the right way,
Yeah. You
actually can get around them and use your speed. How do you know which way to turn, though? That's the thing that always blows my mind when guys like
that. Flip the coin, right?
Yeah.
50-50?
I think, I don't know, kind of like, I'll try to position myself in a way that I can turn and find someone after, but sometimes it might come to the wrong foot, so I'll have to turn the other way. But I'll try and readjust as quickly as possible. And my main thing is to turn and just drive at the defense. So,
is it kind of fun playing in a game like this?
Yeah, I think so, because they're pushing numbers forward and trying to press, but you can easily break that press with the ball, with a good turn, and then you're running right at their back line. So as midfielders, getting the ball into space and driving at defenders is, that's the best part.
It's exciting.
Well,
it's good.
Yeah, hey, thank you guys for coming in here this morning. You know, this is really fun to get a chance to talk to you face-to-face and all that, and I know that it's your day off, so we appreciate that. What's on the docket? You just take it easy the rest of the day, play some video games? what happens?
Yeah, I think we'll play some video games.
What you doing,
and then
Felipe?
Go to the pool later or something.
Yeah, there you go. Pool
do
day.
Do something fun, yeah.
Looks pool like day. It's going to be a good pool day. What video game will we be playing?
We play FIFA.
FIFA, yeah.
Yeah?
All clubs.
Yeah. You guys play country or club?
We play club. Well, we play like where it's like you control one guy and you're playing with a bunch of different guys.
You make yourself?
Yeah.
Usually.
How you doing?
How do you feel about your rating?
Doing pretty good.
Got some Ballon d'Ors already.
Doing all right.
A lot of trophies for the club.
There you go. Right on. Well, hey, thanks to Felipe Hernandez and Cam Duke, and thanks to Patrick Bergabo, press officer for Sporting Kansas City, for making it happen right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. We'll talk some Chiefs with Jesse Newell next.